Amen. Good morning. Did you guys enjoy the worship today? Say amen. Yeah, it was good. We got ZZ Top over here on the outskirts over here. Nathan Hartzell growing that beard out like he wants to, you know, break it out. That's kind of good stuff right there. I want to just very quickly, I just felt led to do this today, but I'd like our staff to stand up if you guys would. Annie, April, Sandy, Brandy, Derek, Zach, if you guys would stand. Man, I just want to say as a pastor, we have an incredible staff. Amen? And you shouldn't clap for yourself. You could tell you're new, and he's like, yeah, I'm awesome. Woo! He's crushing it over here in the rock, man. Yeah. And so all of the things that you've seen prepared for our Vision Month has been created. And is Sandy in here? Is she in here today? I know I've seen her around today somewhere, but she's a part of that. And they have all helped to create a plan and a strategy. And here's what I'd like for you guys to do today. We have Pastor Appreciation Month, and you guys do things from time to time for our staff. But you know what I'd love for you to do is to catch our staff today and just say to them, man, thank you for ministering for my kids. Thank you for ministering to my student. Or Annie, thank you for the things that you're doing at the preschool. Or hey, April, thanks for leading us in missions. And Sandy, man, this is her busiest time of year, making sure that all of our financial stuff is above board and all that. But I just want everyone to know how thankful we are for our entire staff. And Charlene's over there, I didn't see her today, and others that are serving. And so would you just once again let them know how much you appreciate them? Thank you, guys. You can sit down. Maybe send them a text. Hey, listen, next week is revival. Psalm 85:6 says, wilt thou not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in thee? And I said this last year, I want to say it again. But many years ago, a critic came up to Billy Graham and said, man, I don't believe in revivals because they don't last. And Billy Graham quickly answered and said, neither does a bath, but you need one frequently. Amen? Right? That's a good one. Come on. All right. Hey, listen, we need to hear from God. I mean, we are in some crazy, uncertain times. And as a church, it's good for us as a church to reset. It's good for us to refresh. It's good for our families. It's good for our own individual walk with God. We need this. And I'm encouraging you to be here every night, Sunday morning, Sunday nights at 5, and every night will start at 6, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And I promise you, we'll be out in an hour. We're going to schedule it, make it tight. We know you got kids in school, unless you live in the Springfield School District. You know, kids are doing online. But either way, we're going to jam a lot in an hour, and we'd love for you to be here for that. And then I want you to do this before I get in the message today. Right now, would you please begin praying for our Easter services. And in a few weeks, we're going to start talking about our identity and who we are as a church and who we're going to be in the years to come. But I'm asking our church to pray for about 3 to 5 people that God lays on your heart that you would like to invite for our Easter services. You say, well, I don't know 3 to 5 people. Well, it's time that you got to know some folks. It's time that you got to know some people that are far from God, because I'm going to tell you, if you're not walking with and you don't know some people that are far from Jesus, I don't think we really understand the heart of God. And like we talked about the first week of our vision series, if we do not begin to reach people with the message of the gospel, we will quickly become a church that is plateauing and then dying. And so we want to be a church that actually has an impact here and around the world. And I'm going to do my part, and our family's going to do our part, and our staff, they're going to set the example. We're going to write our names down. We're going to pray over these folks, and we're going to do everything that we can. We're going to have 2 services that day. And I'm just asking God to fill it out, not just with people that go to other churches, but people that do not know Jesus. Amen? And I don't know about you, but I think it would just please the heart of God for us to get excited about people that don't know Jesus and to see them walk the aisle and trust Christ as their Savior on that Sunday. And we're going to work to that end, and we're going to pray for that in the coming days. And so today is our last in this series on living with purpose, and that's what we want you to do this year. And if you would, turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, verse number 7. This is probably, undoubtedly, one of my favorite passages of Scripture in the entire Word of God. One of the reasons it is because it gives us a very clear direction. It gives us a clear purpose for what God wants for our life. So no matter what happens to us, no matter who does what to us, no matter what setbacks we have, no matter what failures we have, hey, listen, this passage shows us with crystal clear clarity how we can live on purpose for the glory of God. We can live out who God has designed us to be. And I want us to begin reading in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 7. Paul says, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as a loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I might know him, the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I might attain to the resurrection from the dead, not as though I had already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Jesus Christ has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, and that's forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And God, I pray, Lord, for wisdom. And I pray for words. Not my words, I pray for your words. And I pray, Lord, that I wouldn't say anything that would bring shame or reproach to the name of Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that your spirit would meet with us today. More than anything, we need a word from God. We need to hear from you. And we need to sense and know and experience your presence in these brief moments that we have to gather here today. And Lord, thank you for the faithfulness of our church, the faithfulness of our church family, and the desire that they have to gather and to be obedient to the scriptures. We love you and we ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. One of the things that we learn about Paul, just by reading this small text, is that Paul was a man with a purpose. Paul was a man with direction for his life. Paul was a man that lived on purpose. Paul wasn't interested in playing games. He was serious about what God wanted him to do. He had a singular purpose, and he pursued that purpose for which God called him to, and he did so at great personal cost. In fact, he has written here in this text that he was willing to lose everything to gain Jesus Christ. In fact, you'll never meet someone who had more fulfillment in life, even though he suffered greatly. Paul fulfilled his calling, and he had the utmost satisfaction of the life that he had lived. He lived with no regrets. He didn't have a need for second chances. He didn't have a need for a mulligan because he lived on purpose for the glory of God. Now, when we read about Paul and we study his life, we have a tendency, we all do, to compare our life to his. Or we compare our life to others. We look at the life of Paul and we say, man, I'll never plant churches like Paul planted churches. I'll never be able to do that. We'll say things like, man, I'll never write portions of the New Testament. I just don't have that kind of ability. Man, Paul was just way too radical. I mean, he says here, I count everything as loss for the sake of Christ. He says, I count all things as rubbish or as dung that I might gain Christ. And that just seems very radical to me. Well, we compare ourselves and say, man, I could never live like Paul. I could never be like Paul. So what's the use? Well, Paul was just committed. And this is all I'm going to ask you to do today. Paul was just committed to walking as closely to Jesus Christ as he possibly could. That is and was the most fulfilling priority of his life, and it should be the most fulfilling priority in our life. Because there's a lot of things in life that we'll never get the chance to do. And we will never write a portion of the scripture. We may never plant churches like Paul. We may never do things that other people do. But one thing we can do is we can walk closely to Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? God isn't interested in you preaching to thousands. God doesn't, he's not interested in you writing a book if that's not your thing. God is most concerned and most interested in you walking with and following him so he can guide you in this life. He wants to guide you, but he most importantly wants you to walk with him. You see, in this text today, Paul forsook everything so he could fulfill his purpose. Paul understood his primary purpose was simply to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And maybe write this down today. Before I am anything, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. Before I am anything, I am first and foremost a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so in every area of life, it all comes second to me knowing and loving and pursuing Jesus Christ. His passion and his purpose was simply to know Jesus and invite others to follow him. It was very simple, but yet very singular. Paul had a clear, clarion focus. Because success for Paul was measured by being a faithful follower of Jesus. That was it. Nothing more and nothing less. And I want to tell you, that's something that every single one of us in this room today can do. Every single one of us can commit to being a faithful, committed follower of Jesus Christ. And so I want to encourage you today, before we are anything else, we are disciples. And we must choose God's purpose for our life, and we must choose to pursue Jesus. And so the big idea today is this: I will pursue God's purpose for my life. I will pursue. That's the last declaration that we're going to look at today. And God's purpose for you and God's purpose for me is to be a committed follower of Jesus Christ that intimately walks with him so that he can guide us into his purpose for our life. Now, Paul's pursuit was built around three clear, distinct principles, and it began with this. And we see it in verses 7 through 10. Paul's pursuit was built around an intense passion. It was built around an intense passion. You can see his love for God dripping off the words of Scripture this morning. He says, whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Paul was educated. Paul likely had money. He was trained at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the wisest teachers of the day. And here is a man who had influence, and he said, listen, anything that this life offers me pales in comparison to knowing and loving and following Jesus Christ. He was motivated by this. His purpose in life was directed by his passion. The same will be true of you. Your passion will direct your purpose. What you love motivates you. If you love sports, that's going to motivate you. If you love money, that's going to motivate you. If you love your family, that's going to motivate you. And some of those things aren't bad motivations in and of themselves, but they will not sustain you for a lifetime. And they will not sustain you for the life to come. In fact, when those things let you down, they'll crush you. You see, your passion directs your purpose. Paul gave his life to Jesus Christ. And guess what? He never looked back. He never looked over his shoulder. It's about what you love. It's about what you're passionate about. It's about what excites you. It's about what drives you. It's about the redeemed ambition that we should all have. It's about the redeemed ambition that we can all have. It's about the ambition you have for this life and the life to come in eternity. You see, so many of us, and we've got an entire row, and many college students and high school students in our services today, and so many of us at an early age and even later on in life are most concerned about what we do. When the Bible often directs us to who we should know. God wants us to know him before we start doing stuff. You see, many of us are experts at doing stuff for Jesus and a novice at being his friend. Many of us are good at coming to church, putting money in the offering plate, serving in a ministry, but we don't really know Jesus. We don't really have a walk with God. We don't have God's touch on our life. We don't have God's power on our life. We're not walking in step with the Holy Spirit of a living God. And so when we step into our roles as a husband or as a dad or as a mom or as a wife or as we go to work and we live out our life, we are doing so in a way that's destined for failure. Because I can't be the dad that I'm supposed to be if I'm not walking with Jesus. I can't be the husband that I'm supposed to be if I'm not walking with Jesus. And I certainly can't be the pastor that I need to be if I don't know and love and follow Jesus Christ. And I can't take people to a place that I've never been. I can't take my kids to a place of intimacy with Jesus if I haven't been intimate with Jesus. I can't take this church to a place of intimacy with Jesus if I haven't been intimate with Jesus. If I haven't learned to sit and abide and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, then I certainly cannot take anyone else on that journey. So many of us are most concerned about what we do and not who we know. Paul was concerned about knowing Jesus more than he was doing stuff for Jesus. And there's one relationship that guides you your entire life, and it clarifies your purpose, and it directs you in the life, and it prepares you for eternity. And this intense passion that we see in Paul's life, it begins with a personal invitation. You see, in the book of Acts, we see Paul was invited to follow Jesus. Paul was a man who was religious. Paul was a man who knew the Word of God. He was, in fact, persecuting the church and doing so because he thought that's what God wanted him to do. And on the road to Damascus, he had a personal encounter with Jesus. And it changed everything and it transformed his life. It was powerful. Jesus provided for Paul what he wants to provide for you and me, and that's forgiveness of sins, peace, and a purpose in life that is worth truly living for. And once Paul knew that, once Paul understood that, he was willing to lose everything so that he could know the one who loved him, who forgave him, who gave him peace, and who gave him purpose. I want to ask you this morning, have you accepted that invitation? Because when you do, Jesus will offer you peace, forgiveness, and a purpose that will live on for eternity. But not only that, but that intense passion not only began with a personal invitation, it continued with personal intimacy. You see, in this text today, he says in verse number 8, indeed, I count everything as a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. There is nothing. Listen to what he's saying. There is nothing in life that can equate the reality of and the joy of knowing Jesus. Now listen, someone could walk in here today and buy me a new boat. Someone could walk in here today and offer to pay. And if you do, God bless you. I won't use it on Sundays. But someone could walk in here today and offer me a free trip to Hawaii. Say, hey, 7 days, 7 nights, free tickets. We're going to pay for your food. Someone could do that. And I'm going to tell you, that would be incredible. Can I get a witness? Amen. Right in the middle of COVID, right in the middle of coming up on February, someone's like, we love you. Listen. None of that compares to knowing Jesus. You could be at the height of your profession. You could be at the the valedictorian of your school. You could be the best in your sport, but none of it compares to knowing Jesus Christ. He says in the text, and I love the King James. I'm using the ESV today, but he says, "I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish. I count them as dung." And you say, "What's that?" Manure. We used to live in Illinois, and our church sat on a 30-acre parcel. 25 acres of that was soybeans 1 year and corn. Robbie's shaking his head. Corn the next. Come harvest time, and come time to get the crops ready, the whole town smelled like manure. It was the worst. The whole town. Paul says that's what everything is compared to actually knowing and loving and following and pursuing Jesus Christ with my life. For many of us, we want to achieve stuff. And we feel restless. I mean, COVID stresses me out because I want to do something. I want to build something. And COVID just shut things down. And so it's the tangible, lack of tangible achievement in our lives because we feel in our identity If we're doing something and accomplishing something, then we are something. What Jesus is saying here is like, no, man, you need to invert that. Because for many of us, we find our worth and identity in accomplishing and achieving things. We often find it in worldly success. And Paul states unequivocally that nothing compares to knowing Jesus Christ. Nothing compares to it. So in this moment, what's the most important to you? Maybe there's some Pinterest moms in here. Man, I want to have it all together. I want to look a certain way. I want everyone to think my life is perfect, and I want to have this veneer. Maybe it's finding a spouse. Maybe it's making straight A's or achieving success in your field of occupation. What is it this morning that you feel that it's so valuable to you that you're willing to sacrifice and leave on the table the greater treasure of knowing, loving, and following Jesus Christ? Because when you do that, you're going to miss out on life and your purpose unless you come to the same conclusion that Paul did in this text in his life when he committed his life to really knowing Jesus Christ. It began with an intense passion, but it also continued with an intentional pursuit. Paul says in verse number 10 that I might know him, the power of his resurrection, and that I might share in his sufferings. One of the things that I believe is very clarifying about this passage in Paul's life, it's found in verse 10. Because Paul says he wanted to know the power and the purpose, which likely would include suffering. Paul says, look, I want to know Jesus. And I want to know him on a level that might cost me. I want to know Jesus on a level that I might have to suffer, because in my affliction, if that draws me closer to the one who loved me, the one who forgave me, the one who purposed me, I want to know him. And so he was very intentional about it. He was very intentional about it. In fact, even in the original languages, verse number 10 says that. It begins with that. The word that is a Greek word. It's hina, and it indicates what the writers would call a purpose clause. So Paul is beginning here to unpack the purpose of his life. He's beginning to unpack what should be and what could be the purpose of our lives. And so he's laying it out. He's saying, this is what I'm going to pursue. He's giving us a mission statement for his life. This is what he was going to live for, and I'm going to live for it no matter what. It might cost me, I might suffer, I might sacrifice, but I'm all in. And the church in America today knows very little of suffering, very little of sacrifice, and very little of commitment. You get the sense for Paul that there's this holy ambition. You get a sense of sanctified dissatisfaction with the current state of his life and purpose. He said, whatever things are behind me. Look at what he says in verse number 13. He says, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. Verse number 12, I love this. Not that I've already attained this or I'm already perfect. What he's saying there is, hey man, I want to know Christ. I want to pursue Christ. I want to live righteously. And then he goes on in verse 12, he says, look, I don't know that I've already obtained this or not. And he uses the word perfect. And he's not saying like perfect in the sense we think perfect. He's saying, I don't know that I've matured in this or not. But I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me own. And other translations say it this way. He's laid hold on me. And I want to lay hold on Jesus the way that he's laid hold on me. Now, I don't know if you get the picture there, but I'm a broken sinner. I'm a man that at one point in his life was undone and unrighteous in the sight of a holy God. And God loved me so much. He put his loving arms around me and he embraced me as his own and he brought me into the family. Amen? And he laid hold on me. A young boy from Winter Haven, Florida, from a messed up family, from a poor family. And God laid a hold on me and he knew me. And he invited me into a relationship with him. He says, hey, I want to give you a purpose. I want to give you something to live for now and forever. And Paul says, look, God laid hold on me. I want to lay hold on him the way that he's laid hold on me. You guys get the picture here? Amen? I want to lay hold of Jesus Christ. He had a steadfast commitment to move forward with his life and his calling from God. Here's a guy who persecuted the church and God, and never say, man, I need to get all my stuff fixed. I need to get right with God before I start following Jesus. No, man, start following Jesus and he'll clean it up on the way. Amen? God's not looking for perfect people. We're looking for people who are willing to make progress. You see, many of us believe that God loved the person he created, but he doesn't like the person that we've become. Paul shows us a different way. He says, no, man, God laid hold of you where you were in your brokenness. God is walking with you in this mess. So for Paul, he didn't look back, and that's the characteristic of someone who has experienced grace. Because when you follow Jesus, you have no regrets. He was not defined by his past, good or bad. Look at what he says here. He says, brother, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and straining forward to those things that are before. So he had no regrets. He was simply going to allow his life to be defined by the mercy of God. Now, often we think, well, you know, it's easy for us to say like, man, I've got all this stuff in my past, all this brokenness, and it's easy to turn from that, right? Amen? We want to turn from that. But some of us, we've reached a level of success in life. We've raised our kids. We have a house. We're in a good place financially, and everything is good. And Paul's saying, it don't matter. It doesn't matter the good things or the bad things. Right here today, I'm committing my life to know and love and follow Jesus. So whatever wins I have, whatever losses I have, whatever successes come my way, or whatever failures I find myself in, I will continue to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's an intentional pursuit. That was the primary direction of his life. It wasn't about how many churches he planted, how many books of the Bible that he had written, or how many people that he led to Christ. He was most intentional. Not about doing stuff. He was most intentional about knowing Christ. He wanted to know Jesus. That was it. Now, so many of us in this room today, we have failed in some way. Maybe that failure has even changed the course of your life for a moment. But I'm going to tell you something. It can never change your purpose. Because if our purpose is to know and love and follow Jesus and be a committed follower of him, nothing can mess that up. Because we can all follow Jesus, even when we mess up. Even when we make a mess of our lives, we can know and follow Jesus. Can I get an amen on that? Amen? Just make sure you're here. Amen? So many of us failed in one way, but it doesn't change our purpose. So no matter what you've done in the past, Jesus Christ and God want you to move forward to fulfill your calling and purpose. And so this morning, I need you to consider anything in the way or something that gets in the way of you pursuing Christ. The last thing is this, is we find this in verse 14, and I've already quoted it, but I press on toward the goal, the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, and it's an incredible persistence. It's an intense passion. It's an intentional pursuit, but Paul, man, this guy had an intense and incredible persistence. In almost every instance in the Bible, in almost every instance, mark it down, very rarely does God tell his people what they're going to do. You notice that? Moses takes them out of the wilderness. Abraham, I'm going to bless you more than the stars are in the heaven. I need you to go. Where do you want me to go? I'll tell you when you get there. The disciples, hey, I'm coming back. When are you coming back? Give us the times and the seasons. It's not your place to know the times and the seasons, but I need you to do this while I'm gone. I need you to be this while I'm gone. Very rarely do you find God telling us what to do. He simply calls us to follow him moment by moment, day by day, week by week, month by month. He wants us step by step to trust him, to walk with him, to know him, to lean on him, to depend on him. Because knowing God, listen to this, knowing God is far more important than what we do in life. Are you with me? And that's a tough pill to swallow for an American church. Because our identity is in what we do. It's in how much we make. It's where we live. It's where we go to school. It's worldly success. It's achievement. But I'm going to tell you, knowing God, I mean, really knowing Jesus, is more important than anything that you will ever do in this life. A lot of people in this world are doing good things, but they simply do not know Jesus. We should and we can keep our eyes on Him. I want to encourage you today, keep your eyes on the prize, and Jesus is the prize. And when your eyes are on Him, He'll direct your life. He'll direct your purpose. When you keep your eyes on Jesus, He'll lead you into who you should be and also what you should do. We must make it our aim. We need to be persistent. He was willing, Paul was willing to forsake and lose everything to follow Jesus, but he never lost his motivation because he kept his eyes on Jesus Christ, because Jesus was the goal, not doing something or being something that someone else thought he needed to be. For Paul, it was about knowing and following Christ, letting him guide him along the way. So he was willing to lose everything. You see, the test of someone's character is what it takes for them to quit. And oftentimes, we wave the flag and we throw in the towel long before the fight is over, long before God has ever finished with us. You see, success isn't in bigger and better. Success, young people, write this down, success is in finishing. It's finishing. That's the call. God wants us to finish the race, living and loving others the same way Jesus did. You see, life has the ability to test our determination. You may be on a path to discovering your purpose and fulfilling your calling, but life is pressing you. You lose your financial aid. You have a financial setback. Marriage goes sideways. Kids aren't doing what they're supposed to do. On and on and on I can go. You fill in the blanks and let the Holy Spirit make the application today. But oftentimes we set on a life purpose and then it gets distracted or derailed, all because life becomes so pressing. Man. Marriage, raising children, work is overwhelming with deadlines. Maybe you've lost it this week with your kids. Can I get an amen on that? I'm not looking forward to 4 days of online learning. I like it when they go to school. I'm just saying. We tried homeschool. It drove us crazy. You know, if you do that, God bless you. It's a calling and a gift, certainly. We want to celebrate that. Maybe you're losing it with your kids, thinking, man, what's the use? None of it's going to change. Maybe life. COVID, all of it, your job, marriage, school, work, has just brought you to a moment of wanting to just give up. Man, it's too hard. I don't want to do this thing. I don't want to be in a relationship with you anymore. I don't want this job anymore. I don't want to go to school anymore. I don't want to obey you anymore. I want to encourage you today with determination and steadfastness. Look to Jesus as your motivation. Keep your eyes on the prize. And don't look away until we cross the finish line. Can I get an amen? Don't look away. And all your failures. And listen, you're going to fail. You're going to stumble. You're going to struggle through this thing. You're going to. And when you do, don't think God has finished with you. But with grit and determination, focus your heart on Jesus. God's not done. He's just getting started. Can I get an amen? God's not done with you. God's not done with His church. God wants us to have a global reach. God wants you to be a part of what is going on here at Southgate. And if we can lean in and walk with God and get the touch of God on our life and feel the power of the Holy Spirit with a humble expectation, there is no telling what God will do in your life this year. Some of our students are praying for their one. Got our college students and our high school kids looking and praying about who they could share Christ with this year. God, help us to have some adults that would do that. Amen? God help us. 25 students we want to see come to know Christ this year. 5,000 college students we want to see touch with the gospel this year. I don't know about you, but man, that just gets me fired up. Amen? Could you imagine if we had 100 college students or 100 new students walking in the doors of this church every year simply because we were walking with Jesus and trusting Jesus and living by faith and believing God for the impossible? I don't know about you, but I can get excited about that. So I just want to tell you, God's not done. He's just getting started. He's calling you and me, and He's calling Southgate to persistently pursue, and he's inviting you to know him so he can direct your purpose. I want to tell you, Jesus is here today. If you can't feel him, okay, he's here. He's at work. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. So I want to encourage you to make a determination to follow Jesus. And I want to tell you this morning, from a pastor's heart, don't let Satan discourage you by bringing up your past. He does that to me. How are you going to get out and preach on Sunday? You know, you said this to your kids this week, or you spoke to your wife this way, or you did this a while back. How are you going to do that? Man, Satan wants to discourage you, and he wants to distract you. And we don't live in our own righteousness. Paul says it in this text. We live in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So keeping our eyes on him will help us to keep our focus and our faith on the one who sustains us when it's hard. Amen. Jesus is here. And if you keep your eyes on him, I promise you that Lamentations will be real in your life. Lamentations 3:22 says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Do you know this morning there is never a moment in time where you are not loved by God? His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Every day is a new day with Jesus. And so this morning, I don't know what your story is. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know where your focus is at. But I want to tell you today, get up and follow Jesus. And let's get on this thing. Amen? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. How many of you say to me this morning, Pastor, I certainly know who Jesus Christ is. I know that I'm forgiven of my sin. I know I'm right with God. And I know if I were to slip out into eternity today, heaven is my home. Would you lift your hand and let me just see that by way of testimony today? Man, I know Christ is my Savior. Now, how many of you would say to me this morning, Pastor, I don't know for certain that Christ is my Savior. I don't know that I'm right with God. I don't know that I've been forgiven of my sins. And if I were to slip out into eternity today, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. Would you lift your hand and let me pray for you this morning? Is there anyone that's like that that's here today? Anyone at all? Anyone at all? Amen. Now, how many of you would say to me this morning, Pastor Jason, I want to live with some purpose. I want to grow in my intimacy with Jesus Christ. And it's been a struggle in recent months. I've lost focus. But today, I want to commit my life, no matter what it costs, no matter what it takes, no matter what comes my way, I'm going to follow Jesus. If I do nothing else this year, I will be a committed follower of Jesus Christ. Would you lift your hand and let me pray with you and for you this morning? Amen. Hands all over the room. Let's all stand to our feet, and I want to pray with you and over you. Father in heaven, thank you for speaking to our hearts today. Thank you for being in our presence. God, I just pray this morning that we might see you move. You might convict us, you might challenge us, and you might strengthen us. Not to be an audience, but an army of faithful, committed followers of Jesus Christ. We wouldn't come here just to watch the show, but that we'd get after it, because we live in a world that's lost and dying and on their way to a Christless hell for all eternity. And God, I just pray this morning that we might have a sense of urgency, a sense of compassion. And Lord, that urgency and that compassion would start with every single one of us individually. That we'd renew and refresh and get revived this coming week. And that it might begin with a desire to know and love and follow and pursue Jesus at all costs. And I just pray that would be our prayer today. I pray that that might be our commitment this morning. Come hell or high water, we will follow you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. But Derek's going to sing in just a moment. And on the first note, the invitation is clear. If you don't know Christ, I'm going to stand right here. And I'd like to take a Bible and show you from the Word of God. Not our doctrinal statement, not some creed, not some catechism. But from the Word of God, how you can know that you're right with Jesus today. Amen. If you're here today, you've lost your focus. And you've become complacent, cavalier in your relationship with Jesus. On the first note, I want to encourage you to come and just recommit your heart and your life to Jesus in 2022. Jesus, I'm going to follow you. If I lose friends, if I lose finances, if I have to sacrifice, if I have to suffer, I will follow you. You will be my first priority. And if that's your desire this morning, if you want to commit to that, I want to ask you to come on the first note. I want you to ask you to come right now as we sing this song.